Welcome to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Are you a control freak? This is the way you know. The toothpaste has to be rolled up instead of squished up in the tube. By way of review, let's recall what's been happening in this passage. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, Moses sets half of the Levites on two separate mountains, one on each side of the Valley of Smoke. And there would be issuing from both mountains pillars of smoke, and echoing in the ears of the Israelites would be blessings in their right ears and curses in their left. The smoke billowing up from Mount Gerizim, where the Levites would be pronouncing the blessings, would flow up to heaven like a sacrifice, resembling prayers, while the smoke pouring out of Mount Ebal would signify judgment as they brought curses down upon themselves by worshiping other gods. At the end of the section, Moses gives his infamous, tweetable quote, "Choose this day between blessing and curse." The picture before them was a choice, and Mount Ebal was largely barren and rocky, while Mount Gerizim was smooth because it was largely in the shade of the side facing the valley during the afternoon, so it had green grass often growing on it. The visual picture was stunning. If you chose the curse, you'd have a rocky and barren existence, whereas if you trusted God and opted to worship Him, there'd be blessings ahead. I'll take what's behind door number two, Chuck. One more thing. As the people were marching through the valley, they were to respond to the priests, who scholars believe were taking turns shouting from each mountain. The people were to shout, "Amen," which is a way of giving verbal assent to the covenant. It was a verbal contract, and the people were saying, "We agree." From the mountaintops comes a promise. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. The imagery would not have been lost on the Israelites, that as Levites were high above the earth, so they would be in comparison to all of the other nations. Blessed regardless of geography, urban or rural, and everything would reproduce crops, humans, livestock, you name it. He uses the imagery of the basket and the kneading bowl in this section. And bread was a picture of being settled and fullness. Remember, they were a nomadic people. Any bread they knew before this date dropped down to them from heaven. But now they were going to need a basket and a kneading bowl. They were settled. Also, they'd be blessed in battle, and they'd be blessed in abundance of the necessities they needed to trade with the rest of the world. They would be blessed in work and labor. And in verse 9, we have the summary of this first section. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to Him. This is the establishing of the people. These are all of the things that a culture needs to be established. And as a result, not only would their culture flourish and thrive, but their reputation would also grow. And these are things that they couldn't control. There are very few things, by the way, that you can control in life. Like, you can't stop time. You can't make somebody fall in love with you. You can't even make somebody like you. But you can choose to follow God and leave that other stuff up to Him. Which is part of the bargain here, that God says, if you follow Me, if you seek first the kingdom of God, as Jesus said, and His righteousness, I'll take care of the rest. And in verse 12, God says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all of the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. I don't know if you missed that in the beginning of the verse, but God says He would open up His storehouse out of His abundance or bounty. That's pretty cool. That, when it comes to blessings, is the quicker picker-upper. Then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. You know, Philip Keller was an award-winning author years ago who wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. During the course of that book, he tells a story of his shepherding career when he noticed the fields of the shepherd next to him in the fields adjacent to his own. He said that the sheep there looked so emaciated, and they practically were starving because they were neglected. And he noted that where the fence ran the border of the property between his fields and the fields of the other shepherd, he noticed that the other sheep would press tightly against his fence, longing to get over into his pasture. You see, that's the prosperity that others would see of the people who followed God and would cause them to want to worship that God. People were thinking that God was worthy of being worshipped. I mean, look how he takes care of his people. What about you? Are people able to look at your life? And I don't mean like your life is all together, but what about the peace and the love and the joy that you have? Is your prosperity in spiritual matters leading other people to longingly gaze at the gospel and at God himself? Then in the second part of the chapter, a reverse negative of all the things they can't control take place. These things, according to God, if they worship false gods, would spin out of control completely. God says the basket is empty, the womb is barren, the sky overhead will be bronze, not rain, and the ground beneath you iron, in verse 23. They lose every battle, and they break out with a whole various manner of diseases. And then in verse 34, the sights that they would see at the end of being defeated by foreign armies would drive them mad. It's not a pretty picture. And in this, God has spoken to his people repeatedly the word shalom, or the word peace. But he says peace will be withheld from you. Shalom, which means wholeness or completeness. In verse 37, he says, you will become a thing of horror, a byword. And people who pass by will say, my goodness, what is this horrific thing at my feet? What about you today? Can you see as the choice that God is putting in front of you? Can you see how following God leads to peace and abundance? I mean, even on a natural level, sin is expensive. If you need to pay for drugs, sex, alcohol, or you need to splash a lot of money out just to have a good time, it all gets pretty expensive fast. The things that truly matter in life and bring fulfillment are relatively cheap, while the things in life that lead to destruction and want will rob you blind before they beat you and leave you on the side of the road. They not only deplete your bank reserves, but also your emotional and mental health reserves as well. And take it from me, I used to work as a psych nurse. I would see people chewed out and at the end of an institutional facility where they had become a danger to themselves and others. Trust me, at the very opposite end of this spectrum, it ain't a pretty picture. Well, read Deuteronomy chapter 28 today, and as you do, make your own choice. Blessing or cursing?
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.